What's taking so long?
I whispered. My best friend and partner, Farah Shahai, was currently tackling the locks on the cell door in front of us.
Working on it,
she whispered over her shoulder. Knowing it wouldn't help, I forced myself not to interrupt again. We were on a small labor moon deep in Sarconian territory, hired to free a group of wrongfully incarcerated individuals. At least, that was the story we'd been given. I didn't much care as long as we got paid the rest of our fee. Our reduced fee. That had been Farah and her soft hearts doing. Me? Well, let's just say that while I didn't mind helping people, I was realistic enough to know we couldn't do so without the funds. She, on the other hand, was all for picking up strays, whether they could pay or not. Thankfully, this particular job had been for a substantial amount due to a number of concerned family members pitching in to bring a group home from Sarconian clutches. Even taking a cut wouldn't offset us too much. Was it risky breaking into a labor camp with just the two of us? Yeah. But when we pulled it off, we'd be set for a couple of months. The previous few jobs had been a little rough, but I'd settled into the role of soldier-turned-liberator well enough. Liberator was the term I'd taken to using whenever people accused us of being renegades. Farah kept telling me that they weren't accusing, just saying what they were familiar with, but I balked at the connection. Still, there was no LBO, Liberator Bounty Office, to be found in any of the charted systems. I guessed that made Mac the first, though she only rolled her eyes when I said as much. McKenna Woods, hacker extraordinaire and Farah's cousin, was probably one of the main reasons this little plan was working at all. She tracked down the jobs. Farah and I worked them. Most of the money went to fuel, fixes, and equipment, but we split what was left over. With her help, we got jobs like this one, rescue missions for people either in government custody or unable to get home for whatever reason. That was how we ended up here, on a moon named Bolton, infiltrating a Sarconian labor camp. So far, it didn't look too horrendous. I'd certainly witnessed worse places. Instead of people toiling away in grubby mining camps, these prisoners were sentenced to easier work making clothes and other Sarconian-needed supplies. I'd never considered where my uniform had come from while in the service, and now I felt sorry for it. These poor souls were sentenced to a life of utter boredom, probably for something inconsequential. The prisoners were kept two to a standard cell. Farah was working on the door that held our first pair of rescues. Her door-breaching skills had improved since our defection from the Sarconian government, but I was still twitchy about getting caught. I fully expected a Sarconian soldier to burst into the barracks at any moment. If that happened, we'd be screwed. That sedative isn't going to keep them down for long. Got it, Farah announced triumphantly. The low-security wooden cell door she'd been working on swung open to reveal two grimy prisoners inside, both men. "What are your names?" I asked, while she continued on to find the rest of our cargo. On one of our first rescue attempts, I made the mistake of asking if the people I found were those we'd been hired to pick up. They said they were, and we almost left the planet with the wrong cargo. After that lesson, I made sure to ask for names first. "Beck," said the first, eyeing me warily. I nodded. That checked with one of the four names. "Good. And you?"
Jack,
the other man replied hesitantly. He was small and mousy, his eyes wide with fear. "Your family's sent us," I told them. "Follow me if you want to get out of here."
"I have Amy and Jennifer," Farah said in my ear.
"Copy. Let's move out," I replied, scanning the area for any sign that our presence had been detected. These barracks weren't high security, even by Sarconian standards, with shabby locks geared more toward keeping a person inside than stopping someone from breaking in. Seeing no obstacles, I moved to the door we'd already breached.
"Hey!"
a voice called out from one of the cells. "There's always one," I thought, not responding. This was an aspect of the work that I didn't like. Whenever other prisoners or captives saw an escape in the works, they wanted us to take them along. Not that I didn't want to help, but the second Genesis was only so big. Plus, I refused to let anyone aboard who hadn't been fully vetted. We'd found it was best not to engage them.
"I know who you are, Eva Delgado,"
said the voice in a quiet tone. That stopped me in my tracks. "Stay here," I ordered Beck and Jack. "F, might have a problem. Take the package back to the ship."
"Almost to your location," Farah answered.
Stepping to the cell the voice had come from, I hefted my rifle. "You got a death wish?" I asked darkly. "That's the only reason I can think you'd be saying that name out loud."
"Not at all,"
came the soft reply. Whoever it was stayed in the shadows so I couldn't see their face through the small window in the door.
"But if you help me..."
"Let me guess. You won't call the guards?" I interrupted snidely. It was a valid threat, particularly because this person knew my identity. The Empire didn't take kindly to their prisoners escaping, let alone when two of the most wanted fugitives in the known universe were responsible.
"I was going to say that I'm familiar with the grounds and patrol."
The owner of the voice finally stepped to the small barred window. I was taken aback to see the tomboyish face of a girl that looked to be no more than 17 or 18.